For those of you who might be from out of town, getting out of the way of the hurricane and happen to tune us in, welcome to the part of News Talk 93.1 FM WACV where things change. Things are changing, things are different, and it happens Saturdays at 4 o'clock from what you've been listening to. So if you had tuned in earlier and were like, hey, this is a pretty good station, I like this very much, so sorry to disappoint you now. If not, and you do enjoy what you hear, well, and you're from out of town, we would love to hear from you. Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September 9th, 2017. It is Season 11, Episode 34, and I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And that's all. Matt is not here with us. I think Nate said he might be joining us, not today, but I think sometime later this month he'll be joining us. So... welcome to the show. Normally I go over like where you can get in touch with us and everything, but again, if you are new, because I know we've got a lot of people either driving through, passing through, staying in town, trying to avoid the hurricane and that sort of thing. If you don't know what the show is about, it is a show about video games. The radio station here that I work at, that I've been here with for, I've been in this building for 17 years.
Yeah.
I've been with Blue Water since they began. They were gracious enough to let me have 2 hours of radio time to talk about a fantastic hobby of mine that I love, and that is video games, that we all love here. Those who are listening and those who are on the show, video games. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about video games. For the next 2 hours. And if you like that, that's great. And if you don't, well, then come back in 2 hours because come back in 2 hours just in case. You might like what comes on after us. It is different from everything else, but you also might like it as well. So tune in. But I hope you stay for the next 2 hours and enjoy the show. Like I said, if you do like it, give us a call. Our number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Like I said, if you are from out of town, you're tuning in, you kind of like what you're hearing, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can also find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. Something that we do that the other guys don't, though, is we stream this on the internet. Video! You can see exactly what we look like, although why you would, I have no idea. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv. Go to the search bar at the top of that page. Type in in-game chat, I-N-G-A-M-E, and then chat. And then you'll be able to find us and watch the show live while we broadcast. So thanks to everybody who's already in the chat room. I know Lethal Migraine's in there. And says, Scott, thanks for telling me about Ripped. I've ordered 2 shirts so far. Yeah, Ripped Apparel. That's where I got the shirt I'm wearing right now. And I wore my Vader Nightmare Before Christmas shirt out at PAX last weekend. Got a ton of comments on that one. My Pac-Man shirt got a ton of comments on that one. That's where I mean, I'm not really. They don't give me any money or free shirts or anything like that. But a lot of people ask you, hey, where'd you get that shirt? And that's where I got it from, Ripped Apparel. We did not have, well, we had a replay last week. We did not have a show last week because I was in Seattle the fantastic city of Seattle, for PAX. And I swear I go more and more to that thing, more for the city than I do for PAX itself, because there was a, just to get off the gaming thing for a minute, I discovered just before I left, I think on a Monday or Tuesday, that their Museum of Pop Culture, MOPOP is what they call it, used to be the EMP Museum, which mainly focused on music, but now it's focused on pop culture. They had an exhibit there, not only for David Bowie, which is great, and I love David Bowie, but they also, the big one that they had there was a Jim Henson exhibit.
And oh, nice.
Yeah, I was in heaven. I'm in heaven. I loved it. It was great. That was fantastic to see. I mean, I realize we're talking about video games, but another such passion thing of mine is just the legacy of the Muppets. And it was great to see all the old Muppets that he had there, some of the first ones that he'd done, like the original Rolf, the dog, which is, I have two favorite Muppets, Rolf because he is a dog and I love dogs, and Animal because he's a drummer. Those are my two favorites. I mean, all of them are my favorites, but those are my two. And I didn't see an Animal Muppet there, but I did see Rolf, so... but yeah, a lot of history there, a lot of great stuff to see. Not only, and you know, it took a little bit longer to go through because I was only expecting you like, okay, walk in, here's the Bowie exhibit, here's the Henson exhibit, thanks for coming. No. They have a lot, it's the Museum of Pop Culture.
That's a lot.
They had an entire room devoted to science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a full-scale Terminator exoskeleton,
mm-hmm.
A lot of props from the film. They had a bunch of stuff from Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, Alien, Star Trek, and what else did they have there? Was some hoverboards from Back to the Future.
Okay. Which I was about to mention Back to the Future.
Which I was insanely excited about, even though that's all they had were just the hoverboards. That was it. There wasn't anything else that was there for that movie. Upstairs, they had two floors worth of Star Trek exhibits. Nothing but like the original, the original command, whatever, captain's command thing from
the bridge,
the bridge. Well, not really the entire bridge,
or the section of a bridge,
just the, just
the captain's chair.
The captain's chair. And then like the stuff in front
of,
I don't know, Star Trek. And then you had stuff for movies as well, for the Star Trek exhibit, but, yeah, and then what else did they have? They had a whole fantasy exhibit that you could... and fantasy was like wizards and knights, Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
Warcraft was even represented there. There was a whole room of murals. Murals? Paintings of Warcraft stuff. Was in this one room, and there were Magic the Gathering cards. Some of the original cards used for Magic the Gathering were on display. The original book for Dungeons and Dragons, the original game for Dungeons, like the original thing you would go out and buy, that was there as well.
How big is that?
Very, very small. I mean, it looked like a book.
Okay.
It seriously looked like a book.
Okay.
A standard size book. I have a picture of it in my phone.
All right.
So yeah, they had that, and like I said, the Henson exhibit. They were getting ready to do a Halloween exhibit while I was there. They had not gotten that
Halloween the movie.
No.
Or the season.
Just for the season. Okay. Yeah, they had like a scare thing. I don't know what was going on. They didn't have it open for anybody. Nintendo was doing something there that night. Nindies at night. I guess it was indie games. Nintendo indie games.
Okay.
And they show that's the second or third year I think that they've done that. They always do it around PAX, and so they were getting set up for that. I had no intention of staying there and seeing that though because I was already tired from a long day. This was the same day I went to Microsoft for their pre-PAX party.
Mm-hmm.
I say pre; it's not a party. I said party. I didn't go to any parties. It was their pre-PAX event, and you got to see the indie games, the Microsoft indie games, over at Microsoft's. Headquarters. They had a press thing from 2 to 4, and then from 4 to 5, it was just a let the devs go get some food and get recharged, because at 5 o'clock, they opened the doors to public for them to come in and play all these games as well. So that was fun to do. And I'll start with that on my trip there. But before I do, I want to talk to RJ and find out what he has been doing for the past 2 weeks.
No, a little bit of Fallout 4, still having fun with the mods and building more than anything else. Having access to all that equipment and supplies to build whatever I want, that made it much more fun than it usually is when you have to go out and scrounge for all that stuff. A little bit of Street Fighter 5, a little bit of impact with Minot, the newest character they gave out for season 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the little... protege of Rose. If you're familiar with the Street Fighter universe, Rose, the mystic gypsy.
Not one bit.
But anybody who's listening,
other
who's played Street Fighter.
Other than Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia, that's...
God dang, man. I'm sad that was Raul Julia's last film, man.
I know. I am too.
He was good in it. Don't get me wrong. He was good in it, but dang, the rest of that film was oof.
Oh, God, it was bad. We have him for Adam's Family, and that's good enough for me, but I agree. I know. Mm-hmm. I love his line,
For me, it was Tuesday.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's the one. For me, it was a Tuesday.
For me, it was Tuesday. But yeah.
I've used that line before in worse ways. Well, some really horrible things happened, and I said, you know what? For you,
that you
I
did?
Said no, that happened to me.
Okay.
And right. I used that line and I said, and basically I was being vague on Facebook like you do, because that's what people do. They like to be vague on Facebook. I don't know why. I guess it's an attention thing, but I did it because I didn't know how to even start to explain what had happened. So I said, for you, because it was actually Tuesday, I said, for you, it was a Tuesday, because for me it was so much more than a Tuesday that day.
Yeah.
I won't go into it. I might with RJ after the show. He may know exactly what I'm talking about.
You can't put this on the airwaves, what you did.
I don't want to put... No. It was not... no, it has nothing to do with that time we recorded our show and didn't know we were recording our show.
Okay.
if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That does not... That's not what that references. It references something else that happened, but I'll tell you about that some other time.
All right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but the character Minot that came out... a very defensive character that can play a lot of good keep away from what I saw from videos online. A lot of the problems that she was giving a lot of problems to people who have grapplers as characters, basically Zangief for Abigail. But when they try to get close, which is when their bread and butter combos come out, she has a lot of moves that can she can play keep away with, and they can't get in range of her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's gonna be a real problem, I'm seeing. But as with any fighting game, give it enough time, and people will start finding out ways to get around her tactics, and find a way to win against her. Other than that, a little bit of Sonic Mania, a little more Sonic Mania.
I played some of that on the play. I went ahead and so I got it on PC finally because it released that Tuesday.
Yeah, they had it on the 29th release, and they had that
apparently
DRM
there was,
thing.
Or yeah,
something that
man.
Yeah.
Apparently, they got a lot of.
Now, see, I'm not familiar with the PC. I'm not a PC gamer, so DRM is something that I probably have dealt with but haven't even really thought about because I don't PC game that much. So.
Whatever. It's a DRM stuff that keeps you from sharing the game, and it's like it always wants to make sure you have an authentic copy and all this stupid stuff that they like to put on there. But it's an evasive piece of software.
Okay.
Nobody likes it. There are other ways to protect against that, and DeNovo is highly considered a horrible way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them to delay the game for 2 weeks, and for what most people can tell was just to add that in there or, you know, just to get that in, there's a lot of people upset with it. The developers are actually upset with it as well because they weren't in on that.
Oh, like surprise, DRM.
Yeah. They weren't a part of that decision making process. Otherwise, if they were, they would have said no, don't do that. So they're looking into actively trying to remove it. I don't think that they can. I think it's something set in place by Sega. But yeah, it's got that, and for some people, it's been a rough go trying to get that thing to run, because they do not like. Mm-mm. They don't like that software.
Yeah.
And there was nothing, there was no heads up about that ahead of time.
Yeah. Hell, there no, was, like I said, surprise,
not even
surprise.
Ahead of time. Hell, there was no heads up once they announced that it was getting delayed. There was no heads up until people got their hands on the game. By the way, since just as an aside, since Matt is not here, I have to answer the phones, and I, obviously I'm talking, and I can't answer the phones at the same time, so I'm going to put you on hold right now. I hope that worked. If you can hear me, just hang on. We'll get to your call in just a moment. But yeah, they put in the DRM stuff, and it's caused a lot of blowback from fans and things.
Yeah.
I bought it. I bought the collector's edition for Steam. Don't even ask me why I did that. I bought it on PC. I thought, you know, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I didn't get it on the console, but I bought it on PC, and I actually went to the Nintendo store and bought it for the Switch because I wanted something to play on my flight there and back to Seattle. So I actually played a little bit of that on my Switch.
Okay.
Yeah. And what else?
Destiny 2.
Which we'll talk about. Yeah, we're going to go into that. So, and I'm glad to see that you're playing that. I didn't know you were going to, but I'm glad to see.
But yeah, I mean, we played the first one together. So
we did, but not too much, you know. No. And you only stuck with us for what the first? Did you join? You joined in on the second.
I joined in on the tail end of it.
The Taken King.
At the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're still. I think you're good coming in now. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that coming up later. Let's go to the phones now. I have no idea who this is, so let's just put them on the air and talk to them. Hey, who's this? You're on in-game chat.
This is me, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for holding, man.
Not to. What's going on, y'all? Y'all sounds like you just got back from your vacation, like I did.
I did. Well, you know, I got back on Tuesday night.
Well, we just got back about midnight yesterday, last night from. For a full 2 weeks,
though. Oh, wow. I only did I suppose I just did a week. I mean, I flew out on Wednesday, came back on a Tuesday. So, yeah. 2 weeks. 2 weeks in this business is tough to take. It's really tough to take. So, because the amount of prep you have to do to make sure that everything's running smooth if you're gone for 2 weeks. Just a week is one thing. My trips out to L.A. for E3 were tough. Because that was a full week I'd be gone, but I don't know that I could do 2 weeks. I think it would hurt to try and do. But I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you had a good time on your vacation.
Yeah. Did you see that video uploaded? For anybody's listening out there that may love like old steam engines, you know, railroad stuff. I actually got to ride in the cab of the steam engine on the Durango in Silverton, and with the engineer and fireman in the cab of the locomotive.
Oh, nice. No, I don't. I didn't. I don't know when you posted that, but I have been sort of the entire time I was gone. I was sort of absent from social media, other than like a quick little look see, and then it was on to the next thing. So I didn't have a lot of time to look at Facebook and stuff. So I have not seen that yet.
Yeah, maybe something Greg might be interested in. And I think he's talked about that every now and then on different topics. So you might tag him in that, and he might enjoy that.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Anything else? Have you played anything? Did you get a chance to play anything on your time away?
Well, I took my Switch. I played a little bit of the new Sonic game and beat Cave Story Plus, and just every once in a while just played a little bit on the Switch, and that's pretty much just took it easy out there, and that's about all I did.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you calling in, and thanks for thinking about us, and glad you're back.
All right. Well, y'all have a good one.
All right, man.
Take care now.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Like I said, if you want to call us, the number is 334-272-9228. Like I said, if you're out of town, if you're in town for this, why not give us a call? You know, if you're just switching through the channels and you hear this and you want to tell us about your experience being in town, that's fine. What I was going to say was that I want to go over my trip. We're about 5 minutes away from a break here.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see if I can cover something that doesn't have to do with the video game experience. I didn't do the Space Needle. Had fantastic food.
Always.
Yeah. Uber drivers out there are great. Because you can just ask them, what's the best, what do you suggest for this? What do you suggest for that? Mm-hmm. And they'll just throw out names for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can look them up and go and check them out. So,
didn't you mention something the last time we talked about PAX, some area which was the darkness areas on the map, and one of them was in Seattle?
It's a dark map is
dark
what
map,
it's called.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know that sounds really racist, but it's not. It's about the light pollution.
Right.
It's called a dark map to show you where areas of light pollution are minimal to non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can go and check out the stars. And there is a place. It is not in Seattle.
Okay.
Seattle is massively lit. Okay. In more ways than one, by the way. But it's outside of Seattle. I believe it's on a reservation.
Oh.
Seattle is basically just, it's Native American territory. Well, the entire United States, Native American territory. But mm-hmm. Seattle still has that tie to that. And there's a ton of reservations out there. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of influence. Hey, there's a stapler right there. I should be a little bit more careful with my hands. There's a ton of, there's still attachments to it as well, where you can see there's totem poles, Indian names everywhere. I don't think Seattle's an Indian name, but there's...
like the name of roads and things like that?
The name of cities, too, and now I'm drawing a blank on what they are. But it's on a reservation, but I think from what I looked up, because I also looked up, this was last year when I was thinking about doing this, mm-hmm. I looked up, I was like, how easy is that to get to? And they said, oh, it's real easy. You don't have to pay a fee or anything like that. You just drive out there and let them know you're out there and then go in there. But it's, you're talking about going to see something at night, so that's probably more something you want to do as an overnight experience. You mm-hmm. want to camp out there. And I didn't have any kind of, I never have had any kind of way to really do that other than go rent equipment and then go out there and camp. Yeah. And I'm just, I don't know, I just, that would be something fun to do, but not in the time frame that I have out there.
Right.
So
that would be more than a week.
Right. Well, not even more than a week. I would just need to leave earlier. Mm-hmm. Like I fly out on Wednesday, PAX starts on Friday, and then PAX ends on Monday. I fly back on Tuesday. To enjoy something like that, I would probably need to leave like on a Sunday or a Monday and have more time to where I can prepare and get out there and enjoy a night and then get back and that sort of thing. And I've just never really planned for that. I think it'd be a lot of fun though. Mm-hmm. If the dark map is accurate to the stars you can see in the sky and stuff like that, I think it'd be fantastic to do. It's always something I've wanted to do, is go to the darkest spots, at least within relation to how far I can get there, you know, how easy mm-hmm. it is to get there. There is literally nothing around us here in the state of Alabama. Mm-hmm. State of Alabama, Georgia, there's nothing. There's too much light pollution everywhere. Mm-hmm. You've got to go the real good places, basically the desert.
Yeah.
The real good places are the places in the middle of the country.
Pure isolation.
Yeah, complete isolation. You can get there. You can get there that way and really enjoy it. So, So went to Seattle. What else? Let's see. Good food. That was great. Trying to think of, to do anything. I did not make it to the Seattle Pinball Museum.
Oh.
There were pinball tables that they had brought to the convention center.
Yeah.
Well, spent a good time at those, by the way, when I was waiting on things or just had time to kill.
Yeah.
I'll go play a few tables.
Yeah, but I think the thing was the hours of operation for the pinball museum just really clashed with the events.
Noon to six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Noon to six is how much is the time I have to go out there. And that is almost, that's every day.
Yeah.
That is Saturdays. I'm not sure about weekends, but when I had asked them, and I had asked them on a Saturday, they said, we're open tomorrow noon to 6, and we're open Monday noon to 6. I was like, okay, I'll try and get out there. It wasn't happening.
Yeah.
I wish I could. The tables that they brought to the convention center, they only brought two, was one called Dialed In, which is a brand new pinball machine developed by Jersey Jack Pinball. And it is made by... Oh man, Pat Lawler, I think is his name. Mm. He's the guy that designed Twilight Zone table and a couple of others, maybe even Funhouse, but I can't remember. Mm. But he's designed a few. Dialed In is very like electronic and like internet and all this other stuff. Apparently, there's an app for the game that you can download for the pinball game.
Yeah,
and it can connect to it Bluetooth wise, and I think you can control the flippers with it and that sort of thing.
Hmm.
So it's very, very interesting. But I didn't do any of that. Went to Shorty's, which is a pinball bar type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I played the pinball game based on the Batman television show.
Okay.
With Adam West, Burt Ward. Mm-hmm. Played the pinball game on that one and the Game of Thrones pinball that they had there as well. So that was a lot of fun. The other pinball that they had brought to the pinball museum had brought to the convention center was Mars Attacks, but it is a remake of Mars Attacks. Literally everything that I could see was just, it's a completely remade Mars Attacks. There is nothing new. There's nothing new about it that I know of. So, but it was good that it was there. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I will totally talk about my adventures in Seattle and PAX, and we'll have more with us. If you want to get in touch with us, call us. 334-272-9228 is the number. We will be right back with more after this. By the way, great selection of music that we have. Unfortunately, it is from two games. All the songs are from two games this week because the music is so good. First off, and this is not what you're going to hear, but I got music from Mario and Rabbids Battle Kingdom, which is something also I played on the way out to Seattle. I didn't pay much attention to the music while I was playing this game, but looking up the soundtrack for this, it's really good. It's really good. It's got an Elfman-esque tone to it. Very playful, very, very fun. But that is not what you're about to hear. The other tracks for this week come from Destiny 2. Destiny 2, I've only put in 2 days so far, Thursday and Friday. The soundtrack for this thing is fantastic. Marty O'Donnell, I give him complete credit for what he did with Halo and for what he did with the original Destiny. But the guys doing this one, which I really should look up their name because I think there's about three people who are get composing credits on this, are fantastic with what they've done. If Marty O'Donnell was at a 10, these guys are taking it to an 11. It's really, really good. So hopefully you'll hear some of that in this first track, which is called EDZ, which I think is what, European Dead Zone. Isn't that what that is? Yeah. But it's called EDZ. It's from Destiny 2, and we'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is music. Grant Kirkhope is the composer for that one. That is Mario and Rabbids Battle Kingdom Battle. which is, I should have looked at this, but I don't know what the name of that is, because Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle takes up most of the line of the cart. It's Rabbids Something is the title of that one. I'm not sure. So, my apologies for that. I'm usually better about how those are titled so I can actually read what the track is called, but oh well. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I am Scott along with RJ, and we're here to talk about, well, video games. In case you're just passing through and you hear two guys talking about video games, wonder what the hell this is, well, there you go. Welcome to In-Game Chat. Our number is 334-272-9228. Give us a call if you'd like to talk to us. We're going to talk about my trip to Seattle for PAX and get into the video game side of things. The Thursday before PAX, Microsoft held an event at their headquarters for indie games, and they've done this, I don't know, like 5 years now. They've done this for a very long time. It's at least 4 years, because that's how many times I've seen Cuphead there. They keep showing that. It's finally done, though. They're done. It's coming out this month, and I will never see Cuphead again at a Microsoft event, thank God. I'm glad it's getting released, and I'm also glad I will never see it again in these little showcase things. Glad it's done and over with.
Unless there's a sequel.
I don't know that there's going to be a sequel. They put so much into this game. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they'll be... like, I know that they'll probably do another game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be as ambitious as what Cuphead does. By the way, if you don't know what Cuphead is, Google it. Look it up.
There's plenty out there.
Yeah, I know there's plenty to see out there, but it will... it'll really surprise you what this game looks like. I don't want to spoil it for you, but you may not be interested unless I tell you exactly what you'll be getting into. Go back to cartoons of the 30s and 40s?
30s and 40s.
Go back to the cartoons of the 30s and 40s, the animation that was in that, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. We're talking about Steamboat Willie stuff, that sort of thing. Mm. And it's a video game with that kind of art style that is amazing, that you're even... it feels like you're actually playing the cartoon. And it's really, really well done. It has all of those aspects of everything that you would see back then. It's wonderful. The aesthetic is wonderful. It's amazing that they've done this. The game is quite difficult, actually. So it's got a nice difficulty curve to it. But yeah, Cuphead was there. So Microsoft was doing this Indies at Xbox thing. Like I said, they opened it up for media at 2, and then they opened it up to the public at 5. So I went there for the 2 o'clock thing. And got to try out. The first thing I do is I check all the different rooms. There's a long line of rooms to go into. And I kind of peek in. I'm like, okay, those are indie games. And then I move down and I'm like, okay, same room, second door. Move again. I'm like, okay, what is this? Oh, here's VR. I was like, that's fantastic. They've never... the last year when I went, they had one VR section. It was for Minecraft. And it wasn't even in any of these rooms. It was sitting outside the in the hallway. Mm-hmm. So they had one section, it was just for Minecraft. And that was the VR section. But this time they had a whole room, a massive room, by the way, dedicated to nothing but VR. Mm-hmm. And it's not just any VR. It wasn't Vive, it wasn't Rift, it was Windows. They call it mixed reality. They don't call it VR. Microsoft is weird in the way that they do this. They do their things. They don't ever like to run with... they like to run with what's out there. They're like, give it our own name, brand that, you know?
It makes it stand out.
They try to, you know? But
same thing, different name.
Does Bing stand out for anything more than a joke? Nobody ever says, did you Bing it? Well, I bet everybody at Microsoft does. I bet that's a thing, man. I bet they have to train themselves to say, did you Bing it, instead of did you Google it? I don't know. Just in case anybody's listening, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just in case somebody over here is like, what did you just say? I don't know.
That's what I said. Google.
I know. I'm really curious. No. Just if you work there, not if you're, you know, visiting or whatever, but if you like work there, I wonder if you have to like train yourself to say, did you Bing it? Or let me Bing that for you? Or here, I'll Bing it.
No.
I'm curious. Anyway. So... they call it mixed reality. They don't call it VR. which I don't know why. It is VR. It seriously is VR.
Same thing, different name. Yeah.
It's exactly what that is. I'm trying to remember in other aspects the way Microsoft has done this. Can't call it a laptop or a tablet. It's a Surface, you know? Yeah. That's our thing. That's a Surface. It's a Surface. Is that your tablet? Is that your iPad? Is that your whatever? Well, I mean, yeah, obviously nobody else calls theirs. Samsung tablet doesn't call theirs iPad, but I'm just saying that, yeah, they call it a Surface. So anyway, they call theirs mixed reality. The other thing that they had after that room in the open space where the VR from last year was the Xbox One X, which sounds redundant to say too many times. It's like Xbox One X. The next console that's coming out in November.
We said Scorpio.
Scorpio.
We know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Scorpio. They had a long line of consoles with Scorpio up. Mm-hmm. And it was all the games that we had seen so far. It was the new Forza. I think Gears was running up there. A lot of upscaled games, ReCore, and a couple of other things that they had.
Yeah.
Nothing really new and nothing I really wanted to play because it was all on 4K stuff. I could look at it and say, okay, that looks good. That's really all they were showing off. Mm-hmm. They weren't showing off any of the new titles other than, I think, Forza. But they were just showing off the fact that, hey, look, it's 4K.
How good it looks,
4K.
Yeah.
You know, and it looked great. That's fine. I was more interested in the VR, the mixed reality, and some of the other games that they had in the other section. So I stopped in the mixed reality booth. They had Super Hot going, which is the one where...
Fun game, I hear.
If you move, the game moves, sort of thing. So when your character moves, time moves in the game. And we're talking the slightest of them. It doesn't matter the movements. If you, it doesn't mean if you move forward, then the game moves with time, or if you move backwards, it moves backwards. No, 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 not that. No. If you make any movement whatsoever, the game moves at that pace. So even just a slight move of the head to see what's coming to you from the left advances time. Mm-hmm. So every time you move, time moves. And so in VR, I did not get a chance to play that. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have the game, and I think I have the VR version with it.
Came free with it?
I think so. I think it was one of those update things where it's like, hey, it's in VR now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was something about, I think I've seen an image of that game where it's like...
everything's
like
white.
Yeah, everything's white. The characters are...
but the enemies are red.
Like fire image of whatever. Yeah, it's like, you know, the dude in the distance is shooting a bullet at you. You know, two guys are close to you, got their clubs ready to hit you with it. So, you know that bullet's coming. But how do you deal with the dudes on your left and right? You have to stand still and plan ahead before the action starts. Had some interesting puzzles in there, looking at some of the stages in the playthrough I saw.
Yeah, you, and it's not just guns. You get guns, you get shotguns, you get throwing stars. Mm-hmm. You get swords.
Swords, yeah.
And bats.
Yeah, clubs, like a bats, clubs. Like
mm-hmm.
a, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You get all kinds of different weapons. It's a really fun game, but I did not get to play that in VR. They had Arizona Sunshine in VR, which is a zombie killer thing.
Okay.
They had Space Pirate Trainer, which is a takes place out in space. You're on the edge of a space station, and you're shooting at aliens that are coming in, spaceships and stuff. So they had that. They were showing off a couple of other obscure games that I don't remember, but two games stuck out. One I think was called Luna. It was Luna. And this doesn't, it looked kind of puzzly and kind of not, but it had a short line, and I was like, let me go check that out. And it was weird. I was talking to the lady who developed the game, and she told me her name, which right now is slipping my head, but I want to say it was Karen. I have her card, but it was really familiar. Her name was really familiar. And I said, did you work? You worked for Journey. You guys worked on Journey and Flower and Flow. You were that game company. And she said, yeah, I used to work there. I said, oh, I have met you before. I met her at many, many, many PAXs ago for Journey when they were doing a press thing for Journey in one of the hotels in Seattle. I think it was Seattle. Hell, it may have been Boston. But... I remember getting to meet her and playing Journey, and yeah. And so it was really strange to meet her again after so many years working on this new thing. She doesn't work with that game company anymore, but Luna had a lot of aspects of flower and flow and journey, that sort of thing. It's a little trippy to tell you about, to try to explain it to you. A bird swallowed the moon and lost its memory. Was it Robin? I don't know why that's not ringing a bell, but that's not ringing a bell. Somebody else, I thought. Maybe it is. Anyway, bird swallowed the moon and lost its memory, and you're trying to put pieces of it back together and do all these little, very small, simple puzzles to do it with. And so in VR, it was really kind of neat. You took star constellations and you would move them around to form an object. And the object would be like a different tree or a flower or a plant or something like that. And that would become part of your inventory to decorate this barren earth, this barren patch of land. And the more you decorated, the more the sun got brighter and grew. And then magic happened. And yeah, so anyway, there was that. The other game that I played, and the one that I really loved, was, okay, I guess it is Robin. I I'll have to look that up. Maybe it was. Lethal Migraine's telling me it was Robin. So good job, man. And thanks for the update on that. The other one that I played was a game called Form, and I tweeted about this on our Twitter account. Everybody knows how much I love my puzzle games,
right?
Like The Room, and which, by the way, I play. If we want to talk about games that I actually played, there's a lot. But I played a lot of The House of Da Vinci on the flight over, and Form has the same aspects of those games, The Room and House of Da Vinci, that sort of thing, but it's in VR, and it's done exceptionally well. You can see your hands in VR, the shape of your hands, and you can use that to grab things in VR and move them. The premise of the story was that you're a psychologist, and you kind of you've gone a little bit crazy, and you start to see your thoughts in your head, and you start messing around. And so they really didn't get too much of the story. They're just like, here's the setup of what you're experiencing right now. And so I moved into this strange space. I don't want to call it a room because there didn't seem to be any walls. It was just kind of stars everywhere. And in the middle of this space that I was in was a box, and I could manipulate that box and turn it and then open up the box and do these different things and put things together. And so it was very much like a room type puzzle game, but done in VR. It was fantastic. I loved it so much. I have to talk to them, because I would love it if they have something that is not VR related, because I know when I sent that tweet out, I know one friend of ours, Brock, was very interested until he realized it was just VR, and then he said, I don't have VR. I don't have any VR.
Yeah.
So I can't enjoy this.
I was looking up the press kit for Luna. I saw the team listing here. It said Robin. Robin, I'm going to say this wrong.
And that's probably her.
Yeah.
That's probably who it was that I talked to. I thought it was a Karen, but I could be wrong.
There is a Karen. It's a Karina Tyan.
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll have to look at the card when I get back home, but it's probably Robin.
Okay.
Which is fantastic. So, back to the VR section of this. Their VR is unlike any of the other VR that's out on the market. And I don't know how much it's going to cost. But I took pictures of the headset. I'll get those posted on our Facebook page. And of the controllers that they had for it. If you've seen a Vive controller, which I think you have, because I think somebody brought them into GT South, or was that just PSVR?
PSVR, PlayStation VR was brought to GT South.
Really?
I don't know about the Vive.
I thought somebody else had brought a Vive, but maybe not, because there's a lot of setup with the Vive.
No, we played Keep Talking and No One Explodes on the VR, on the PlayStation VR.
That was on the PlayStation VR?
Okay. On the PlayStation VR, we did that.
Yeah. No. So PlayStation VR would be easy to set up. You just need a PlayStation, you get the headset. The camera for the PlayStation looks at the headset and the motion controllers, and that's how it determines where things are in the space that you're in. That's fine.
One thing is cord and wire management with that one. That's the one you got to
look out for. There is, and there is on all of them right now. The holy grail of VR is, I think there's more aspects to it than just one, But one of the aspects of the Holy Grail of VR is wireless. Mm-hmm. There's wireless capability, so you have no wires stretching across the room and for you to trip over. Okay. Cost of entry needs to come down a lot. Then the big hurdle, I think, over anything else, because I think wireless you can get to eventually, and the cost can come down eventually. The big hurdle is how you can sustain play. Yeah. How you can... Like, these were little 15-minute demos that I was doing, 15, 20-minute demos, and that's good. 15 or 20 minutes in VR is good. 30 minutes, maybe even 45 is okay, depending on what you're playing. But longer than an hour,
yeah,
and you get to the headset begin. You start to feel hot because it's all over your face.
The discomfort starts
right
after about an hour.
It's the comfort aspect.
Sometimes sooner for some folks.
The eye strain.
Yep.
There's a lot of aspects of VR that need to be worked on. Comfort factor is going to be the big hurdle for I think everybody.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Lethal Migraine said Microsoft's headset thing is wireless, but it's also $3,000. I'm not talking about HoloLens. I don't know what HoloLens is going to cost. This was not HoloLens that I was playing on. This was their mixed reality, augmented reality, whatever it's called. And I have a picture of Asus has a, Asus, whatever, has a headset, and that's the headset I was using.
Mm-hmm.
And the controllers look like Vive controllers, but they've got lights all over them. They kind of have a... They have a handle that you hold on to that's got thumb buttons and finger triggers and things like that. And then that surrounds that stick is a circle full of lights. And that's how the VR tracks your hands in the space that you're in. The thing about this one, though, is Rift requires some sort of camera to point at you so it can pick up where the headset is and where your controllers are. I think two cameras for that. The Vive requires two cameras put in opposite ends of the room so you can have room space VR so you can keep track of where you're going. This has no cameras. The PSVR needs a camera, right? Mm. This one does not need a camera. The camera is built into the headset. On either side of your eyes are two cameras on the headset. This was, by the way, a very lightweight headset. Wasn't too bad. But those cameras map the room that you're in. It maps the space. If you get close to a wall, it knows you're getting close to a wall. It can see the controllers because of what you're looking at. So it's got a view of the controllers, and that's how it can put the hands in the space that you're playing in. It is room scale, so you can walk around, but you don't have to set up cameras because the cameras are on your headset. And it can know when you're getting close to an object and tell you that, hey, there's something there. Whereas everything else, like I know on the Vive, you have to map out your play space so that it knows, like, okay, this is the space you have to work with and what you can do. The Rift, I don't know. I know the Rift has the Oculus Touch, and I'm not sure how you map out a play space for that yet. But again, this does not use cameras, so you don't have to map anything out. It was really, really nice. I was very impressed with what they had done with theirs. I hated the fact that it was a third VR or fourth, basically, VR system coming to play. I honestly think there's more, actually. And there's another thing that they need to get out of their heads. Stop making these. Stick with whatever's out there. Come up with something that everybody else can follow, but stop making a bunch of VR headsets that keep doing the same things. I liked what Microsoft was doing with this one. And how they had integrated everything. I liked that very, very much. Hmm. But, again, you're still wired, and I have no idea what the price on that is. The guys that were demoing these things had no idea what the price was going to be either or when it was going to be available to the public. Every game that was available was also available on other platforms, too. You didn't have to just play it on the Windows platform.
Nothing you could
play
exclusive.
It.
Okay.
You could play it on Vive, or you could play it on Rift. Most of them... were hesitant to say that you could play it on PSVR, mainly because they were at a Microsoft event. But I think a lot of them would also be available there. They want to get it into as many hands as they can to make the most money out of it, you know, unless they're somehow contractually obligated not to do that. Hence Cuphead, who's like, yep, Microsoft backed us. We can't be on PlayStation. So it's Microsoft and PC only for Cuphead, which, by the way, Cuphead was there. Cuphead was there again on like three monitors. It's like the fourth year it's been there.
Fourth year, yeah.
Yeah. Game called Arrowheads was there, and that was just like a four-player twin-stick shooter type thing of a bunch of knights firing arrows at each other. It reminded me much of Castle Crashers.
Okay.
But
twin-stick?
Yeah, so like you moved with the left and right stick,
mm-hmm.
and then you shot with the... you'd aim with the right stick. So like your movement was the left stick.
Mm-hmm.
You go move all over the map with the left stick, and then the right stick was where you would point your arrow,
okay.
your bow and arrow, and then you hit the trigger to fire.
Okay.
So, Geometry Wars does the same thing,
mm.
where one stick moves, the other stick shoots.
Yeah.
So in the direction you want to go.
I was thinking of Robotron or Smash TV or something like that when you say that.
Yeah.
That's the first game that comes to mind when you say twin stick. I think of those games like that.
Yeah. So that was another one that I played, and they had a lot there, but the amount of time I spent waiting in line to do some of the VR stuff kind of limited it to how much I played over in the console version, where I could actually play a lot of the indie games they had on hand to play. But when VR is there, I really love to play VR. Resogun's the same way, which I love Resogun, twin stick shooter. Anyway, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we will have more of my trips at PAX, because I did play a lot of other games. I got to see a lot of other games, and I'll be talking about those coming up in the next segment. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, you can. 334-272-9228 is the number. AC Wraith has thrown something in the chat room. Cuphead was there with and he puts in quotation marks, game journalist, causing controversy with his bad playing. This is in our chat room.
I remember seeing a lot of,
I didn't see anything about this because not particularly.
If we're talking about the same thing, game journalists and how bad they are at playing games.
Hmm.
Basically, I think how can you accurately, give news about a game if you can't play it for nothing?
This is a 26 minute video, so I'm not going to be able to watch it all. I'm curious about it though, so anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know of anything that happened. I really wasn't plugged in as much as I usually am, as far as like social space and news space and things mm-hmm. like that. You're just kind of in a bubble when you're out there.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by everything, and there's just no way to keep up with everything else that's going on. So I didn't know about Hurricane Irma until I was at the airport.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I knew about Irma because everybody had said it before I had left that, hey, there's that other hurricane that we're kind of concerned with.
Yeah.
At the time I left, it was all about Harvey.
Yeah, it was Harvey, and then Irma coming right back up.
And then they were like, Irma's coming, so we'll see what that's going to do. And then by the time I got into the airport in Seattle that morning, I was like, okay, here's the path. And I was like, oh, okay, this is now very, very serious. And it moved, so it hadn't been anything that I'd been paying attention to. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything. Like, if anything happened in politics or anything else, I was oblivious to it. Had no idea what was going on. Even one of my favorite bands released a new single, and I had no idea it was going on. So, anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Here is more music from Destiny 2. This is called What We Fight For. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Here is, well, that is music from Mario Rabbids Battle Kingdom. Kingdom Battle, whichever way. This one I do remember because I'm getting just a few letters from the beginning, but I do remember what this is. It's Bowser Begins is the name of this track. Really, really good soundtrack for this game. Surprisingly, game's actually really, really good. I know, it's a Rabbids game, and I'm not like, but yeah, it's actually not bad at all. It was a lot of fun for the trip out to Seattle and back. Had a lot of fun with it. Anyway, welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ, talking about my trip to PAX and the games that I played. Gonna start now with games that I played for the convention proper. And I had an appointment. My first appointment was, let's see, I'm going to check my calendar on this, Ubisoft. I had an appointment at with Ubisoft the very first day. And luckily it was in the hotel that I was staying at. So I just ran down to the rooms that they were doing this in, and I got to play a few games. The first game that I played was Assassin's Creed Origins. And they gave me an hour to play that. Like a full hour to demo that game. Mm-hmm. So I got to play that. And the combat is different. I didn't get into... there were some... was there any combat that I got into with that? Yeah, there was a little bit of combat that I played with that, but not much. But the combat was different. It was mainly just a bunch of... for me, it was... and they didn't... there was nobody there to like, okay, go to your skill tree. Okay, look at this. You need to do this, or you need to do that, or here's how you do... it's not. It was just like, hey, are you going to capture footage for this? I was like, nope. All right, well, here's the controller. Have fun. That was it. So the combat is a little bit different. I didn't get to the part where you can actually chain your attacks, if there is such a thing. I was just hacking and slashing away. Mm. But once I did the main quest that they had me, that they originally had for that demo, the world opened up and said, hey, you can go over here, you can do this, you can do this. There's a tomb over here you can go into. And I was like, okay, that's what I want to do. So I went to the first pyramid that was in sight and climbed up the pyramid, went inside and did the tomb that was in there. And it was a puzzle room, mm-hmm. You know, wait this to lift this and move that over and do that. So I figured all of that out and played it. And that was it. I mean, it's Assassin's Creed. There's not much different going on. I had to rescue some kids who were being held captive. And that had a lot of aspects of what you already do in Assassin's Creed, which was you go to where you're supposed to go, where it's heavily guarded, and you use your eagle vision, which is actual eagle vision in this one. It's mm-hmm. an actual eagle that flies. Mm-hmm. And you direct how it flies. So it's kind of like having a drone.
Yeah.
You know? It's very much the drone from Ghost Recon. So you're flying the eagle over, and it can see things and pick up on targets and things like that, and then suddenly you know where it's at because, you know, I guess you're in tune with the eagle or something. Seriously, how? How?
Because video games,
exactly.
Yep, don't question it.
I'm not.
Just play it.
I'm not. So, you know, there was that, and I could, you know, I took out some of the guards and then rescued the kids, and that was whatever it was, and I did a puzzle room, and that was great. Had an hour to play, and I can't really say, I can't say that I'm not excited for it, because it's Assassin's Creed, we've been a year without it, and I'm actually enjoying Syndicate that I've been playing. Mm-hmm. So I'll be happy to have something else, but I don't know. I'm not saying this one won't work for me, but I just can't tell you that this is any better or worse than previous Assassin's Creeds. It's just something they've milked to a franchise to no end. And really, if they want to do something fresh, they need to do something fresh with it.
Are we in Call of Duty territory?
We've been in that territory for a while, mm-hmm. for Assassin's Creed. Yeah. They've been in that territory for a while. And Call of Duty, going back to World War II now, mm-hmm. with their game, getting out of this modern warfare business and everything else. I don't know if that's going to be good or bad for them. I didn't play any of that at PAX. I don't even know if that was there at PAX, to be honest with you. But I didn't play any of that, so I don't know if that's gonna. I don't know if that's gonna work for them. They've got a whole generation built up on that modern warfare stuff. That going back to something in the past, I don't know that that's gonna work for them. unless they figured out a way to make it work for them. But I really don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of the last World War II game that was put out there recently. Because, I mean, the last one I played was one of the Medal of Honor
Well, there's games. World War II Online.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of little World War II games. Now I'm trying to remember the names of them. World of Tanks maybe has a World War II aspect to it. I don't know. There's a lot of
alternate version of World War II in Wolfenstein: The New Order. But
there's a couple of RTS games that you know have World War II time frames in them.
Sniper Elite.
Sniper Elite could be considered that, but it's so segmented that it's tough to say, because you're one person and you're not really helping a campaign or anything. It's a thing. But there's and I'm trying to Red Orchestra is one I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a new one that came out not recently.
I think the point I'm trying to make is that there was a slew of World War II games a decade ago?
I would say 2 decades ago, honestly.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, that used to be the thing where it's like, it's just another World War II shooter.
Yeah.
Just another World War II shooter. And then, of course, Call of Duty broke the mold and did the Modern Warfare thing,
right.
And that just hit.
Yeah.
And they started going with it from that one.
Yeah, I remember Spec Ops 2 The Line. Came out with that some mm-hmm. Some bear like that.
Spec Ops
2 The Line, because it was free on PlayStation Plus.
Okay.
And I remember picking that up. It was a good, well made game.
Yeah.
And
then they all went the modern way, and we dropped off the map of the World War II stuff. Now they're going back to it. I don't know if it's a formula that's going to work for them or not.
Yeah.
I really don't. With so many people just raised on that modern warfare thing.
Yeah,
not necessarily you or I, but I would say the meat of their market is people who have only experienced Modern Warfare,
mm-hmm.
As far as the titles are concerned. So I don't know if going back to that's going to be good with them. Also at Ubisoft, I got to play The Crew 2.
Okay.
This was weird. So I'm playing The Crew 2, and I can on the fly. And I don't know if this is some kind of ability you get later in the game, but I had it right there for the demo. Yeah. But on the fly, I can change from the car that I'm in to a Porsche, to a plane, or to a boat. And it doesn't do any kind of transformation thing, which would be really cool if it did.
I was about to say that.
Trust me, you know. It just vanishes, and then boom, you've got the vehicle you select.
Okay.
So I pick a plane, and I take off and fly, and it's great. I'm flying. It's wonderful. I go over a body of water, and I said, can I turn into a boat right now? And they're like, yeah, you sure can. So, boom. Suddenly, I'm a boat way up in the air falling.
Dropping.
Yeah. Right into the water. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, I'm on a boat in the water, and I'm going.
Hmm.
Which, once you're on a boat in the water and you're going, like, those are the – that's, like, the only thing that you really can't come back from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a boat in the water, if you turn into a plane, you don't take off.
Right.
If you turn into a car, you don't drive.
No, you sink.
You're just a boat.
Yeah.
So that's like it. And I guess maybe I didn't go far enough to hit any land.
There's no way to, like, transition to something else. You couldn't, like, hit a ramp or something, change to a car midair, hit the road, and keep going.
Right, or
like
hit
that.
A ramp and change it to a plane and go from there.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. And I can't wait to do anything like that. But I didn't come to any of that on there. Once I did that little trick, the guy said, hey, we also have this. He said, pause the game. So I paused the game, and it's on a map, and you hit a trigger or something like that, and all of a sudden, it zooms out, and I can see the entire path that I just took from car to plane, and I can see it in 3D, by the way.
Okay.
So, like, when I zoom in, the dots representing me in the air come right above me, and I can go under them, over, around them, and then from where I see where I turned into a boat and just dove right into the water. I can back up any of that. I can back up the game to any of those places and start from there.
Rewind.
Completely.
Kind of like in SSX.
Very much in SSX.
Yeah.
Forza Horizon 3, I think, has a rewind feature. It only goes back so far, and it goes back in real time. It doesn't give you some kind of like 3D replay of it.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back in real time, so everything's just reversing in front of you. This one is like, which dot do you want to pick? You know, and you pick that, and boom, you're right back into it, and you're flying again. And it doesn't play out unless you control it differently. But it's got those alternate times of like, okay, well, this was one where you went down into a boat, but this is the one where you kept going straight as a plane. So it's got all that. At any time of the game, you can do this. You can pause, you can back out, and you can go to any section of the map and say, I want to go there, boom, pop right into it. It's like, do you want to go as a plane, a boat, car, what do you want to do? Boom, car, into it. And then I'm right there in the city or wherever it is that I'm at. You get the entire United States to play with, which is probably on some sort of scale that isn't the entire United States.
Right.
But as I zoomed out, I was in New York, and as I zoomed out, I was like, here's Chicago. Here's Dallas, I think. Atlanta. You know, big cities and stuff that you could
it
go
It sounds
to.
Like maybe the format of Need for Speed, The Run.
I did not play that.
It basically, it's like... I'm trying to remember. Now I'm trying to remember.
I remember it, though.
West Coast, East Coast, race from there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it stopped in certain spots, you know, go from here to here, and then this state to that state, and so on and so on.
I had a nice little history lesson on the Need for Speed series. Mm-hmm. Somebody created a thread on NeoGAF talking about games that just ended, and they had used Burnout as one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Burnout Paradise and then nothing. And so I went over this history of like, well, here's what happened. EA bought Burnout. Excuse me while I divert for a second. Burnout's one of my favorite games. Electronic Arts bought Criterion.
Right.
Criterion was under no... It was just them. They were a development studio, and Activision would publish their games. But Electronic Arts bought them, mainly for their engine that created their games and did the crashing and stuff like that. Renderware, I think, is the name of the engine.
Okay.
They mainly wanted Renderware. So they bought that just so they could have Renderware, and they said, sure, put out Burnout 3 Takedown, which was the first time we got EA games on Xbox Live. EA was having a lot of trouble trying to get their stuff on Xbox Live because they wanted to do it a certain way for them, and Microsoft was like, nope, you got to go through us if you want to do this, and they finally agreed. Burnout 3 Takedown was one of the first games that got on Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic that it did. So Burnout 3 Takedown, then Burnout Revenge, then Burnout Paradise, and Revenge on 360, and then Paradise and all the DLC, and it's great. Well, at that time, the Need for Speed series was declining in sales, and they said, well, stop with your Burnout. You guys have done your Burnout enough. Work on a Need for Speed game. And so they did. Need for Speed... Was it Most Wanted? I can't remember the first one.
It was a Most Wanted.
Well, they did Most Wanted.
Rivals,
then they did, no, they did Most
the
Wanted,
Run.
Then they did Hot Pursuit.
Okay, Hot Pursuit.
Yeah. So they did their first game, which was Need for Speed. It may have been Hot Pursuit, or Most Wanted. And then they did Hot Pursuit. And these were great, and they were doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they had another Need for Speed coming out that was going to try and tie into the movie. Need for Speed, and that's when The Run hit, and The Run didn't do very well at all. Mm. It did very, very bad. Mm-hmm. And so then Ghost Games was developed, became a thing. That was a company out of Germany. They had worked on The Run, but they revamped the team, and they put them with Criterion together to work for Need for Speed Rivals, I believe, which was the previous Need for Speed game. On it was a launch title for the PS4 and stuff.
Okay.
And then Ghost Games completely took over the franchise.
Yeah.
And they did the recent Need for Speed reboot that did bad. So Criterion, everything they were touched necessarily turned to gold, but it wasn't as bad as when they didn't touch it.
Yeah, and I'm looking on the thing for now that says they're making one called Payback.
Well, yeah, that's the one we saw at E3. Yeah, that's the one we saw with E3 videos that looked a lot like Burnout, right? Because he's driving and he was taking out the enemy cars, and the camera would shift to show the wreckage as it was happening and all this other stuff. So, which Criterion is not in any way involved.
Right.
It is still Ghost Games doing this. Criterion is basically working on stuff for Star Wars Battlefront, and I don't know what else they're working on. As far as I know, they don't have anything else under their hood. For what they're currently working on, which is very sad because they're a great team, but I can tell you right now, everybody with Paradise gone. Mm-hmm. Everybody who worked on Burnout Paradise, and then they slowly started to fall off. The more Need for Speeds that got made, the staff at Criterion slowly started to dissipate, And I don't know what Criterion's working on now. There was a reveal at E3 a couple of years back that they were working on multi-vehicle type game, planes, hang gliders, ATVs, cars, all this stuff. They were really excited about it. That game got shelved and is not happening now. So I don't know what is in the pipeline for them. All I know is that Alex Ward and Fiona Sperry, I think is her name, they went off and did Three Fields, which made Dangerous Golf, which is very, very Burnout-esque, even though it's about golf. And then they did Danger Zone, which is very, very Burnout-esque. So that's basically, I mean, if you want to get your Burnout back, go support them for that. Because they're going to be the ones, before Criterion or EA give you anything close to Burnout, Three Fields is going to give you something close to that. And they already have, in the forms of Dangerous Golf and Danger Zone. But I think they'll get there. They're working on some new stuff, by the way, for Danger Zone. They're going to release on Xbox.
You did say it looked a little unfinished when you played it.
Yeah, they're going to release on Xbox. They've got more cars. They've got more tracks. They've got one track that is raining cars. Like, you're just driving on there, and then cars are just falling from the sky. It's great.
I think there's some action movies that did that, actually.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
I'm sure there is. But it looks fantastic. I'm hoping we get it on the PC. But anyway, sorry to divert for a second. Ubisoft, I played The Crew 2. Then I played Far Cry 5. The best thing I can say about Far Cry 5 is the fishing.
That's not good.
Well, no. I'm not saying that anything else was bad. It was just that once I got to the fishing, that's all I did. I was like, all right, because I put my rod out there and I brought in a fish that weighed like 0.3 pounds. Mm-hmm. I think if they were giving away a prize for the biggest fish, I think if they gave away a prize for the smallest, it would be me. 0.3 pounds, the thing was biting onto my thumb. It was really tiny and just wiggling onto my thumb.
Goldfish.
Yeah, basically. But the fishing was great. And so I just kept doing that the rest of my demo.
Okay, there was a prize involved, maybe, or something like that.
Well, there was, but it didn't... Well, there was a score. It was like, okay, can you beat this person? Every session, whoever gets the biggest fish gets a thing.
Okay.
And but it didn't matter, because even if they didn't have that, I'd have still been doing fishing.
Yeah, but the thing I'm trying to say is that nothing in the game drew got your interest well enough to detract you from fishing.
Nothing was thrown at me to do that with. Like, okay. I started, like, the very first mission that I'm playing, like, I got to pick a sidekick.
Okay.
There's three choices you can pick from. One is a guy that can supply you with things. The other is a...
Is that the preacher, the waitress at the bar, at the play mechanic?
This was... I think the preacher. I think you're right.
There were three videos I saw for Far Cry. One was a preacher. The residents of the town are like mad that these.
No. I know what you're talking about. No. It wasn't a preacher. It was some guy with a beard. He was like, you know, Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
He's like, I'll supply you with vehicles and whatever. All right. Then there was one lady who was always with you, who was a sniper, so you could set her up to take anything. And then there was a dog, and he was more for the stealthy approach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dog could sneak in there, and you could set the dog to attack. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're on, say, hey, go attack that, and that sort of thing. So you could be stealthy about it if you wanted to.
All right.
And those were your three styles of play that you could go down. So I picked the dog because it's me.
Like dogs.
I'm going to pick a dog. So I picked a dog. And I did a few of the missions until, you know, it's open world. Far Cry is open world.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a couple of, the opening mission has you on top of a water tower taking out these guys who have a church held hostage.
Right.
And you take them out, and once you're done, you get the whole little Far Cry 5, blah, 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 title sequence. And then you're stuck there in the road, and you can grab a truck and drive and whatever. And I drove for a little bit, then I got out and saw these guys beating up on some town folk, and I took them out with my dog and my gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I just kept walking and exploring, I came upon a little body of water, and there was a guy fishing, and you could walk up and pick up the pole, and you could fish. And then I was where I stayed.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
There we go.
I stayed there fishing. So that's the best thing I can say about Far Cry 5. And that does not mean it's bad. I actually enjoyed it. And I think there's more to do there, but fishing was really fun. So anyway, those are the three Ubisoft games that I got to see. Then I got to go see a game on the show floor, and I'm looking these things up as I go. A game called King's Bird.
Okay.
You'll have to look this one up if you want to see exactly what I'm talking about. But King's Bird was very much a... Remember N+?
Yeah.
the style of your character was very much like that, but add journey to it. So your guy is in plus, or you know, your guy is moving around very fast.
Right.
He can jump really high. He can move very fast, and he's got a scarf.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when you would jump off, and then you could glide a little bit, and that's how you could avoid parts that you couldn't land on or touch like that. And that was it. You could do the jumps where you jump on ledge jumps, basically. You jump on the side of a platform, and then you can kick off of that, and then you know chain your jumps back and forth. So it had a lot of that aspect. It's completely platforming. That's all it was with that. But it was very great aesthetically, and the gameplay was smooth and really good for that. Mm-hmm. Very small game, very short game, but I really enjoyed playing that one. Then I got to try. I'm going to get through Friday before we take a break. Mm-hmm. Then I got to Abduction, which is the Myst guys.
Okay.
They were there showing off the PSVR. Actually, they had the Rift. They had the Oculus Rift version going. But they are now on PS4. And so I talked with Ryan, who I've met before a few times out there. I met at the studio when I got to tour the studio for that. And we talked about, you know, what they've been working on and what they're doing, and they're doing more optimizations for Abduction. They found out ways to make load screens go faster, or to make loading times go faster, mm-hmm. to reduce the capacity of the game itself. They can make that smaller and still provide exactly what they're providing. So yeah, there's just a lot of optimization going on with that game.
Okay.
But there are other things in the works that. I don't know if this was off the record or not, but I don't think we got enough people to really worry about it. They're trying to get, they have rights for a few of their games.
Mm-hmm.
Myst, Riven, they've got all that. What they don't have is Myst 3. That's Ubisoft. Myst 5 is Ubisoft. Myst 4 is Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of those are still owned by Ubisoft, and they haven't, they're trying to get those rights back. They're trying to buy back those rights. We're coming up on an anniversary of the Myst franchise, I guess.
Right. Which one?
The first one.
How many years are we talking about?
I don't know. Okay. He told me, but I can't remember.
Okay.
But you're looking at something, I think you're going back to 1990? 91, maybe?
Hmm.
Okay. So we're coming up on something here. Unless we've already passed it, but yeah. So they're trying to get all that stuff back so they can do a massive re-release of everything.
Mm. So like a big collection.
A big collection worth of Myst stuff, which would be fantastic.
Like that Uncharted collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what did I see after that? Because that was just a quick little... I just wanted to see them because I love those guys, and I just like to see them anytime I can. Divinity, Original Sin 2. Which is a RPG type thing. It's on PC. Divinity Original Sin, the original one. Original Sin 2 comes out on the 15th, so this coming week.
Okay.
It's not my style of game.
93, by the way.
93. Okay. Right. So, quick math will tell you that I don't know how to do math.
I can't math.
I can't. Well, 24 years. 25th anniversary will be next year.
25 years.
Yeah. So Divinity Original Sin 2. Basically, I spent most of my time doing character creation for that because there were a lot of characters to pick from. You can make your character already dead.
Yeah.
Undead, basically. But not zombie dead. Skull, like skeleton.
Okay.
Yeah, you're like a skeleton. And so the thing about that is that the thing they were telling me about that is that you could play dead during fights because you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You can get out of fights. You can control the undead because they look at you as like one of them, and so you can control their army and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought those were fantastic aspects. Didn't get too much into the game, too far into the game when I was playing, because I spent most of my time trying to figure out who I was going to be on a character because they went through all the different roles.
Yeah,
they were walking me through all the different roles of what you play and how it goes and stuff. So, and that was Friday. I've still got Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to talk about. I only got 30 minutes. Plus Destiny 2. So we may skip all that and just jump right into Destiny 2. But we've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat. Here is music, speaking of, from Destiny 2. This is called Rise. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott along with RJ. That is music from Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. That is the mid-boss battle music. And that's probably my favorite track. But yeah, a lot of fun for that one. So, to go over more games and try and get all this stuff out of the way, Saturday was appointments with Ubisoft that I'd actually knocked out on Friday. So I'd gotten all that done. What was I trying to do Saturday that I was trying to get everything knocked out? Oh, I remember. I wanted to go to the Nintendo panel that was that morning. By the time I got there, it was like, no.
How early in the morning are we talking about here?
I got 2 hours before the thing started.
Okay.
And it was line capped already. Yeah.
Wow.
It was going to be either a Nintendo Minute for Metroid Samus Returns.
Mm-hmm.
And I, yeah, no. So, didn't make that. So I had the whole day to like, what am I going to do? Let's see. Sunday I saw... well, actually, you know what I did on Saturday? I actually saw some of the things I was supposed to see on Sunday because I had gotten things out of the way. So I was just like, you know what? Let's see if we can knock other things out. I saw Cube 2. I don't know if you remember Cube. It's Q...
Q-U-B-E.
Yeah, Q-U-B-E, but it's Q.U.B.E. And this was a room puzzle type thing. It's very environmental type thing. You walk in, you're on an alien ship, and you can manipulate boxes and move things around. Again, you're in a cube, basically, and it's trying to get from the entrance to the exit of the room, each room, by manipulating the room itself.
Right.
It was fun, but it was a very short demo, but I really liked it. They're looking at a 2018 release on that. Then I saw Tiny Build Games. I played a, what did I play? They have two new games. It's Gravekeeper, I think is one. Where you play, not a mortician, but you play somebody who manages a graveyard.
Okay.
And you're trying to keep the bodies in the graves.
Groundskeeper.
Yeah. Exactly. You're
whips the shovel.
It's one of those things where you it's not a simulator type thing, but you are making, but it's for a graveyard, which I think is fantastic.
I was about to say, is your weapon a shovel?
I don't think you have a weapon as much as you just have, like, different aspects, like I want to put a tree there, and I want to burial management.
Graveyard builder.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Graveyard simulator.
Has it ever been done before?
I don't think so.
But kudos to them for being
unique. But leave it to Tiny Build to make it happen.
Be unique. That's good.
You know, they've got a couple of games. They got Party Hard 2 they're working on releasing. I got to play a little bit of that, which looks like a massive step up, not only in fidelity, the way the game looks, but also the difficulty. They have added considerably more people into one of the room into the party, and you have to kill certain people in the party. And the other thing I played was a game called Pathological. When she told me who had made this game, and I think it's Ice Pick Games. I had another flash of I've heard this before. Where have I heard this? They released a game on Kickstarter that I backed called Knock Knock, and it was also a psychological horror type game, but it was done in a very cutesy way. The animation and stuff was very cutesy. Pathological is nothing like that. Pathological is, I don't know what, I'm not exactly sure how to describe what it is, but very, very, very little ammo to defend yourself. So it's more of a run-and-hide type thing. But it is in the horror vein. You don't ever go outside, or if you do, just be careful when you go outside from house to house, because I died outside quickly. When I was inside the house, one of the houses, I was trying to check. You're a doctor from, I don't know, 1800s.
Okay.
And you're in this house. And I was in a room, and I couldn't figure out how to get out of the room. And then I would click on these bodies that were people who were dead, and I would loot them if they had anything, and I would check. But there was another thing that I could do with them that I had never been able to do in a game. You could do an autopsy. So you could cut certain parts of their body, and it's like, okay, there's the heart, there's the brain, there's the kidneys, that sort of thing. One person that I checked, inside his brain was also the key to the door, like a lockpick.
In the brain,
yeah. I don't know why. There was probably context for why it was there, but I don't know.
maybe a little macabre here, but was it like forced in through his skull or just
very possible? You didn't see that.
You didn't see any entry.
You didn't see that in the outside.
You didn't get to manipulate
the body and look through and see what had happened.
All right,
there were just bodies strewn apart, and it was your job to search them and make sure everything was. You search everything to get everything you could. You could actually take brains and the kidneys and the heart. I don't know what you could do with them later, but you could take them. There was inventory management, much like Resident Evil, where you've got certain squares and you can manipulate Tetris-size them and that sort of thing.
Right.
So there was inventory management there, and it was more about you surviving and figuring out what was going on. And I didn't play too much of it because I'm a wuss, but I actually kind of enjoyed it, and I think I would enjoy it more if I had more context with it and a proper start of going through the tutorial and learning what I can and can't do and how this world works. Because I was running into some really creepy characters that I thought were there to kill me, but actually they were there to talk to. You talk to them and they have a conversation with you, and the conversations felt out of place because I didn't know the context of what was going on. So why they were asking me this question or talking to me like they knew me was strange for me, so I didn't understand it. But this is that's a game that that I think is going to be coming out later this year or probably around October. And I'm really curious about that as to the context of that. It's tiny build, so I'll probably get a review code for it. They're very good at sending that stuff to me, so that was good. Then I played a game called Trailmakers, which if you're familiar with... Remember the Banjo-Kazooie game on Xbox 360 that you had to build the cars and stuff? This is the same thing, but it's more a cross between... there's a game on PC where you build medieval weapons out of, I think it's called Besiege. But you build weird, different ways of breaking through. Like, the way they set it up is you have different parts to play with, parts of whatever you can build to mess around and build something with. But they give you a scenario of you've got to get to the flag at the other end of this thing, figure out a way to build a machine that can get from, once you put it down, it's going to go straight. So how's it going to get to the flag at the end, you know? And so you put buzzsaws on it to get trees out of the way, or you put fire on it to burn things out of the way. And so this was the same way, where you just built a vehicle, any kind of vehicle. It didn't matter what kind of parts you had. It was very much like a construction set, where you could build, your car could have wings. You could build an ultralight if you wanted to. You could build a boat where you just wrap tires around the entire thing and float. It's all physics-based. So that one seemed like it needed more work to it, but it also seems like that's something they probably could release and actually do well with. For the amount of money they probably put into that thing, I think they could actually release that right now and probably do okay.
Yeah, how many different ways can you build
this? Well, I think that type of a game will run wild in the YouTube streamer thing.
Yeah.
You know, people just building cars and having fun and doing whatever.
Kerbal Space Programs comes to mind.
Yeah.
Because all the building in that and all the videos you put on there.
I can easily see that becoming a thing that just does massively well for them, for that aspect alone. And then on Monday, I saw Surprise Attack Games. They are the makers of a game called Orwell.
Okay.
It's on Steam right now. It's basically you playing as... Big Brother with the NSA. And you have a file on a person and you have documents on a person. You need to read the documents. Is this the person we're looking for this particular crime? We don't know. You check video and match video to things. It's very much a Big Brother's watching type thing. But even if Big Brother is watching, how do you interpret the information that you see? And that's exactly what that was about. It was very much a social commentary type game. They had another game that ran in the same vein called The Invisible Hand, where you play as a stockbroker, and it was very Stanley Parable-ish. You walk into a room that where other stockbrokers are. You sit down, and you've got to make this amount of money for your company in the day. So you make that money, and then it's like, okay, day's over. Then you come back the next day, and it's like, okay, here's your next task. You come back the next day, here's your next task. Very much in the vein of Papers, Please.
Yeah.
Where every day was like, it was going to, you know, it would get tougher and tougher and tougher every single day you're doing this. And as you go home each day, you can either go home or if you've made enough money, you can buy amenities for your house to make your living situation better. I really liked what it was. I liked what that was doing as well. Yeah. I enjoyed to see that one more. I wanted to spend more time with that. Mm-hmm. Another game they showed me there was a game called Blind, and this was VR. Mm-hmm. You essentially play a Daredevil-like person who has echolocation, but you're completely blind. So if you make noise in a room, you can see the room fill out. You know,
it's like perception.
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Like I'm in a room and I've got my VR on and I can see some things. I can tell that there's something there and I pick it up, and as I touch it, you know, it makes a noise, and so it kind of brightens up the room just a little bit, and I see it's a picture frame, and I throw that down against the wall and I can see, okay, and I see it just in like a pulse, like a ripple.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, I'm in a room, there's the front door, so I walk out. And you've got this voice continually telling you what to do, like, hey, follow my voice, do this, go here.
It sounded a lot like perception now.
Yeah. It had a little bit of a spooky vibe to it, but it was. But they told us there's like, there is no jump scares. It's not supposed to scare you whatsoever. It's just a puzzle game. Mm-hmm. But you're blind, you know, yeah, essentially. So eventually you get your walking stick. And that you can just. I knew that if I ever became blind, I was going to use my. Yeah, I was going to use my walking stick as a sword.
Watch your shins.
Because that's what I was doing. I was just like, whack, 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 whack. And it was like, you know, showing everything up and brightening everything so I could solve puzzles, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And I like puzzle games, so there was that. And then what was the other games or the other developer? Amazing Eternals.
Okay.
The guys by the makers of Warframe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. They've got another one coming out called Amazing Eternals. It will be free to play. It's going to have a massive amount of characters. It's based on 1970s sci-fi, pulp sci-fi type stuff, and 1960s, 1970s sci-fi. The main part of the game is a board game. And as you land on certain parts of the board game, you go in and have to do certain things, and it's all multiplayer based. Mm-hmm. You get rewards for that and move on. It's also got CCG elements, card collecting elements.
Okay.
Because you get cards that are in relation to your powers and what you can do. And it was a very in-depth type game. And that's where the monetization is. Now, they've got monetization for clothes and things.
Okay.
Aesthetics.
Yeah.
Whatever. For the look of your character. Things that have nothing to do with the gameplay.
Costumes, yeah.
Yeah. However, you can buy cards. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily give you a power-up to anything else that you wouldn't get. It doesn't really do that. But it does give you access to different things. It's not that you're going to have more power than the other person, but you might have a different move than the other person has. Mm-hmm. All the cards could be earned in-game if you wanted to do that. But they were also... And that's where they make their money in that. And that's how they're going to make their money with that, is if the hook lands, you know, if this is something that hooks people in. I don't want to say it didn't hook me in because I didn't need to play it. They had somebody doing a showing me things. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, let's show them this character. Okay, let's show them this character. Let's show the powers for this character. And so I liked a lot of what I saw, but that, I don't know, it didn't seem like that's going to hook me.
Yeah.
It looked interesting, and since it is free to play, it's obviously something I could easily try out. But
maybe you're not like the card game type player, are you?
I'm not. But like the more I see them, the more I'm curious
about
them.
Was something like a Hearthstone?
Yeah,
like that?
I'm not into that. Yeah. But I did sign up for the Magic: The Gathering Arena beta, mm-hmm. which is basically their version of that. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for the beta of that. I'm I saw a lot of that at PAX, and I'm sort of getting interested in that just to see if will that hook me? I've never really given it a shot. I've tried Hearthstone, but that's electronic. And it's also, it's never sunk its teeth into me. Hearthstone has it.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if Magic the Gathering does. I'll give that a shot and see if that's something that hooks me. It may not. It might not. I don't know. I'm always one to give these things a try because I'm always curious as to how they're going to go.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. So, we got about 5 minutes left. I wanted to talk about Destiny 2. I have finished the campaign. RJ is playing Destiny 2. What level are you at?
Light level or...
No, just level right now.
Nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
Okay. You basically going through the story, or
going
you
the story.
Doing a lot of the side missions and stuff?
Going through the story as quick as I can.
What are you playing as?
Titan.
Titan, nice.
Same as last time.
I know. I did the same thing. I picked a Warlock because that's the one I started with.
Yeah.
And I loved how it opened the game and it showed you all the accomplishments that you had done.
Yeah, here's your highlights.
Here's your highlights. I enjoyed that very much because it kept a track of like all the main accomplishments that I had done. Yeah. Not only did it track when I did them, it tracked who I did them with.
Mm-hmm.
So me and James were in there. Josh, who's in the chat room, he was in there too. So yeah, I finished the game. I love it. I love it. I love the game. I am hooked. I'm going to go home and play more of that tonight. But yeah, I love it. Am I hooked enough to do it all over again on PC? I don't know. Because let me tell you, doing a massive marathon session of that last night while laying in bed.
Yeah.
I looked back on that entire amount of time spent there and I said, could I have done this sitting in the chair in front of the computer? This is so much more comfortable. So yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we got to run. That is it for us. I want to thank everybody for joining us. By the way, happy birthday, RJ.
Oh, thank you.
It is RJ's birthday today. I'm a bad person for not bringing that up at the beginning of the show. I also forgot to clap.
Clearly not.
But thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and are on their radio. Thanks, everybody, who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch. Subscribe to our Twitch channel. If you're on Steam, join us on our Steam group. PS4, we got a group there. We got a Destiny 2 clan. Join it. We would love to have you. It's called In-Game Chat. Surprise. We got an Xbox thing group there as well. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. Here is music again from Destiny 2. This is called Battle Stations. See you next week.